so far today, God. This was their prayer. I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been selfish, grumpy, nasty, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help. So that was one person's prayer. There was another little boy. He was a 7-year-old. His name was Mark. He was overheard praying, Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time like I am. We're going to talk about prayer. Abraham Lincoln said this, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians, or I'm sorry, I'm reading somebody else. Abraham Lincoln said this, I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Luke chapter 18, we'll start in verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, in this parable, normally, you know, my pattern is to take a text, and normally we go through the text. We're kind of doing the springboard effect this morning. We're going to take this text, and then we're going to springboard off of it and talk about the area of prayer and prayer in our life. But in verse 1, this is a parable. A parable is a story. It could have been true. It could not have been true. But Jesus, when he was telling a parable, had always one main purpose for it. There are people in theology that will take a parable and they will get all kinds of other ideas from the parable. But normally from a parable, when you're studying it theologically, Jesus had one main reason. Now, it's pretty easy for us to see it because Jesus tells us the reason. What did he say? In verse 1, the whole reason for this parable was not that there are judges that don't care about God. Now, I would say there are. And we could park right there and start preaching about how that this world has a bunch of judges that are corrupt. But that's not the purpose of this parable. We could also say that maybe that there are widows. And widows will trouble you. I'm looking in the text here, and that's what the judge said, yet because this widow troubles me. And we could park it right there for a while. We could talk about the widows who just put a lot of trouble in your life. But I don't think, again, that the text is saying that. Some people will come to a text and they'll pull all kinds of things out of it. Verse 1 says, he spake a parable unto them to this end. Men ought to do what? And this is men collectively, so this is talking men and women. As a people, as a Christian, I ought always to pray and not to faint. That is the purpose of this parable. He spoke it to encourage us to pray and not to quit. So in your life, one of the disciplines that you need to put into place in your Christian walk is not just Bible reading and not just it will help you be spiritually fit. One of the things that we have to put into place is I must pray and I can't quit. I must pray and I can't quit. I've used this illustration before, but it fits with our starting of the message in this area of prayer. Some years ago, there was a man looking for work, and he was up in the northwest area of the United States, and he approached a foreman of a logging crew. He wanted a job. It was a Friday afternoon, and he approached this foreman. He said, I'd like to have a job. Foreman said, well, it depends. Let's see how you can do as far as taking trees down. The young man stepped up, and skillfully, he dropped a huge tree. The foreman was impressed. He said, Monday morning, you be here sharp at 7:30. We'll get all the paperwork done now, but at 7:30, you be here sharp Monday morning, and we're going to get at it. I can hire you. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday rolled by. Thursday afternoon, the foreman approached the young man and said, "Hey, could you see me in the office when you're leaving?" He went by the office, and the foreman had his paycheck there. He said, "Here's your paycheck, and we won't be needing you anymore." The young man was startled, and he said, "I thought you paid on Fridays, and I thought that it was understood that I had a job." He said, "You did have a job." But he said, "Monday, you did pretty good, and Tuesday, man, you were doing okay, but by Wednesday, you were so horrible that everybody else was complaining because you were holding everybody up, and you were way behind." The young man looked at the foreman and said, "I don't understand." He said, "I came early. I didn't take even some of my breaks. I went to lunch late. I left lunch early." He said, "I don't understand, man. I've been working hard." The foreman looked at the young man and said, "Well, have you been sharpening your axe?" The young man just looked and said, "Well, I didn't have time. I didn't have time to sharpen the axe." And you know, in your Christian walk, some of you're going to get busy. You're going to maybe go out. Some of you went out on the bus routes today. You went visiting yesterday. You've been, some of you dads, some of you moms, you've been busy rearing your children, but you have forgotten a very important part, a very important discipline in the Christian walk, and that is you're not getting sharpened. You forgot that there's an important part, and that is that our axe needs to be sharp in our Christian life. And it is a very crucial part in success in the Christian life. And if you do not take the proper time to pray and get along with God and make sure that spiritually you are ready for the battle, then guess what's going to happen? All of a sudden, you're going to fall way behind in your Christian walk. And you're going to say, "Wait, I'm working hard. I'm doing this." Well, it's not all about you. What it is it's about your relationship with the person who can do it all. And that is Jesus Christ. It is God our Father. God our Father can give us the power. He can equip us to do what is necessary. Is this true in your life this morning? One of the disciplines in the Christian life is prayer. This morning I'm going to ask you to consider your prayer life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for an opportunity to speak. Thank you for these folks that come out faithfully. Some of them come out faithfully every Sunday morning. Lord, we're trying to help them in some disciplines in their Christian walk so that they can be successful, not just on Sunday morning, but all through the week. Lord, we ask to do what I can't. Speak to hearts, Lord. Claim your power, claim your spirit. Go before and do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to ask a couple of questions this morning. In the area of prayer, we're going to look at why we should pray, how we should pray, and when we should pray. Three questions in the area of prayer. So why should we pray? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it's a very easy verse. Most of you know it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." So why should I pray? Now, In grammar, most of us don't necessarily, as we get out of school, we like being out of school. But in grammar, we understand that this verse is an imperative. Now, what is an imperative? It is a command. Come on now. Now, I was watching during the song service. All right, most of you, all right, you're feeling really grumpy. I know it's January. All right, and it's a little cold, maybe, you know, but it did warm up yesterday. All right, so warm up your innards. All right, let's wake ourselves up and try to be here. So praying without ceasing, why should I pray? Because God commands it. It's not an option as a Christian. It's not, well, you know what, I just don't feel like it. No, God says, pray without ceasing. Why should I pray? Because God commands it. Why else should I pray? I should pray not only because God commands it, but because I receive benefits. Now, you sitting here as a Christian, it would be ludicrous of you if I brought you down or you're sitting there and I said, hey, you know what? Anybody today that has a need for $1,000, just come on down. Now, most of you, now some of you, you would be so asleep, you're already asleep, so you would miss it, all right, which I would be happy for, all right, because it serves you right. But other people, although you have never seen what the front of the auditorium looks like, all right, you've never seen it. You've never experienced kind of past the last four rows. And you're like, wow, there's lights in here? Wow, this is really kind of nice. But you'd be sprinting down to gather that $1,000. Now, in the same way, you would say someone would be ludicrous not to come and take. If there's no strings attached, you'd say, man, I would be down there and I would grab that $1,000. In the same way, we are silly by not going to our Father, not going to God, when we can receive benefits and He says, I'll give them to you. How silly of us not to ask of our Father. How silly of us not to go in prayer to our Heavenly Father. What are some benefits that we receive? Well, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. What is one of the things that we get as a benefit of praying? God says, I'll answer you. I'll answer your prayer. Now, my question to you is, so are you seeing answers to prayer then? Then maybe it's because you're not asking Him. Didn't Jesus say, ask and you shall receive? There's other things as we go through it. We'll see there may be some qualifications, but one of the benefits is that God says, I'll answer you. Another benefit, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And verse 7, so it's saying that we need to come to God. Let your requests be careful for nothing. Hey, you may think it's small, but be careful for nothing. There's nothing too small. Just go to God. And in verse 7, He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, some of you, you're filled with fret and fear and worry. And you can go to your Heavenly Father. You know what He promises? Don't be shy about it. There's nothing too small. And you come and you can leave that burden. Remember, Peter said, casting all your care upon Him. And the idea is grabbing something and tossing a heavy burden upon the Lord. And the Lord says, I'll give you peace. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Because there are some things you and I, as finite human beings, we cannot understand. We can't comprehend it. But God, our Father, He is not like you and I. He is made of something different. I know Jesus Christ, He put aside His heavenly garments and He put on a fleshly robe. But Jesus Christ, He was both God and both man. But our God, sitting in heaven, is not a man. Oh, He created us. And there's things about God that we will never understand until we enter into the portals of heaven. And that is the God that you have the privilege of going to. And that God says, I care about you. And I will give you peace. Are you fretting? Fearful? You have worry that has come upon you, then my challenge to you is to cast it upon the Lord. And what you'll find is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It'll come there and be with you. I think that this is true in the world that we live. All you got to do is read the newspaper or turn on the radio. Oh, and that depression will start creeping in, won't it? Hey, it's never gonna stop. Now you can almost hear those voices. They're kind of crazy voices, real high-pitched. It'll never end. You'll never make it. All right, and it's there, and those creepy voices are there, and you say, oh, it's so bad. All right, it's there. But guess what? That's what the world offers you. They offer you chaos. They offer you a picture of calm and tranquility. All right, this evening we'll be talking about one of the disciplines of the Christian life is meditation. And as I've been studying it for and reading on it, you know, most people, when they think of meditation, we all think of somebody sitting cross-legged and hum, hum. All right, that's their idea of tranquility. But you've met some of those freaks. All right, you've met them. They're not happy. That's what the world offers you. World offers you a sham. They offer you a Hollywood show. And behind the scenes, it's pretty nasty. There was a story a long time ago about a man. He was a poor immigrant. He was walking on the tracks and the railroad tracks in New Jersey. On his back, he had this huge bulk. And he was trudging along on the tracks. He was really weary. He was worn out. He almost looked, if you can picture, John Bunyan's pilgrim. He had that huge pack on his back. And here was this poor immigrant, and he was walking on this track in New Jersey. Well, in passing a station, a railroad agent saw him. And they he went out and he caught the guy and he wanted to remind him that he was liable for being around that area of arrest for trespassing because the railroad tracks actually belong to the railroad. And you could mess things up. The man fished around and he pulled out a ticket for the railway. And the agent looked at him and said, well, you have a ticket. What are you doing? He said, well, I believe this ticket allows me to walk on the railroad. The man brought him back to the station and said, there's a train coming pretty soon, and you can actually get on the train and sit down, and we will take your burden and set it aside. As you can imagine, guess what? The man was pretty happy. Because what was he doing? He was bearing a burden and really looking silly when he didn't have to do it. And some of you as Christians, that's exactly what you do. You're walking along life, bearing your own burden and being weighted down and you say, woe is me, this is so hard. When God says, come to me, I am your Father and I will give you peace. Why should we pray? Because God's word commands it, and because we receive benefits. But how should we pray? That was our second question. How should we pray? Psalm 66:18, most of us know this verse. If I regard what? Iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So, how should I pray? The Bible says, how am I supposed to pray? Without sin. Without sin in my heart. You come to God and you say, hey, Lord, I need this and I need this and I need this. And while you're praying, and mark it down, you spend time with the Lord and this will happen to you. You will get on your knees. You will pray, you'll be alone with God, and you'll start into that devotional life, and you'll start praying about things, and you have your list to accomplish. You have your agenda that you want to get across. You want to mark it off that, hey, I did my devotions for today. And God, all of a sudden, while you're praying, says, hey, like with just a minute, God, I've got to get through my list. Just a minute. You'll have time in a minute. Well, wait a minute. We're supposed to be spending time with God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so God has another agenda, His agenda, to clean up your life. And so all of a sudden, He comes in and says, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? You need to take care of this. No, God. I need to go through my prayer list. You might as well stop. Because God says, I'm not hearing you. Because there's sin in your heart. Take care of the sin, and then you'll get answers to prayer. How should I pray without sin in my heart? How should I pray according to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22? And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. A lot of times we go to God, and it's just like a rosary. It's just like some habit. That we're just doing it, but I really don't think it's going to happen. Then why waste your time praying? God says, come to me believing in faith. And you can trust God that you can have the answers to prayer. Now, I'm not talking about being silly. Alright, that'll be the next point in line with God's will. But we should have some faith. There's a small boy that was getting ready to pray, and he turned around to his parents, and I loved his faith. He said, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm getting ready to pray. Do you guys need anything? Now guess what? He was getting to business. He said, hey, I'm going to my Heavenly Father, so hey, I know you guys don't know Him. But I'm getting ready to pray, and if you need something, I'm going to ask. Because he had faith believing. The Bible tells us just to get into heaven, we have to have the faith of a little child. Well, I don't think that faith is much different in the Christian life. I think we should mature. I think we should grow as a Christian. But our faith needs to still be that simple faith that my Heavenly Father can and will do what He says. I should believe in Him. There's a funny story about a man. He was an elderly man, and he was caught in a flood. The flood was doing all kinds of damage. The water was taking over his house. And pretty soon it had come into the main floor, it had come into the second floor. And during all this time, there was different things that were happening. While he was sitting on his porch and the water would come up, and somebody came by, and they had a big SUV, and they said, hey man, why don't you get in? He's like, oh no. And he went back in and he was praying. The water came in his house, and it started filling up to his waist, and he heard somebody knock on a window, and he saw a canoe out there. And they said, hey, come on in. He's like, oh, no. And he went to the second floor, and he continued praying. He went, and he had to crawl outside, and he was sitting on the roof of his house, and a helicopter came, dropped down a ladder, and said, hey, old man, you got to get on. He's like, oh, no. Well, finally, he slipped. The water kept coming up. The foundation, it crumbled, and he died, went to heaven. He got there, and he said, Lord, there's only just one thing. I don't understand. I was praying. I was praying, and I was asking you. And the Lord looked at him and said, I sent an SUV, I sent a canoe, and I sent a helicopter. He said, what more did you need? Sometimes we're that silly. Sometimes what God is giving us is the answer. You just don't want to see it. we should in faith believe. In 1 John chapter 5, we read this verse, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, and here's the phrase, according to his will, he heareth us. The Bible is telling us that I should ask, how should I pray? I need to pray without sin in my heart. I need to pray in faith, believing. I need to pray in line with God's will. And this is how simple it can be. I can tell you this, if it doesn't line up with the scriptural principle and you're praying for it, it is not God's will. So I can guarantee you, when you run out of money for your cigarettes, you don't go to God and ask him for money for it. He's not going to give it to you. I can tell you who will. One of your wicked friends. Yeah, the devil's got all kinds of people that are there. His little minions that can come and answer your wishes. But when it comes to God's will, it will line up with the Bible. I can tell you this, that it's against God's will for anybody, anytime, to ever get an abortion. Why? Because the Bible says, thou shalt not, what's that word? Kill? Wow. God, I'm so confused. I have a baby. I did wrong. I was immoral. And so what should my solution be? Because I had no self-control. I couldn't control myself. My passions were let loose. God, should I kill the baby? No, you shouldn't. It's silliness. No, you don't do that. I can tell you it's not God's will. You say what? Well, they say they're paying for it. Yeah, the devil is. Devil will give you some resolution to some of your wishes. But the Bible is very clear that in line with God's will means that I can sometimes just simply line up my request alongside the Bible. And so I can tell you, going to Blue Chip, playing the lottery. You say, man, I'm just praying, Lord. Bring me the basket. You're praying, and you may actually get an answer from the devil, but it will not be in line with God's will. Because scripturally, gambling is wrong. We don't have time to go on to it, but scripturally, gambling is wrong. It's covetousness, number one. It's covetousness. It's wanting what somebody else has. Where's all that money come when you're gambling? It's somebody else's money. So what are you doing when you're gambling? I want what you have. Now tell me, biblically, is that real spiritual? Oh, you know the answer to that. So rip them up. Stop doing it because it's not in line with God's will. When I pray, certain things become really clear. I can pray in God's word according to scriptural principles. And so abortion and drug abuse and alcohol and smoking and fraudulent business, those type of things I know are wrong. I line it up with God's will. James 4:2 says, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war and ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lust. What is the Bible telling you and I? How should I pray? I should pray without sin. I should pray in faith believing. I should pray in line with God's will. And I should pray with proper motives. And what is it? I don't pray so that I can just get something. My Heavenly Father is not a blue chip. He's not a casino. My Heavenly Father is not some fire extinguisher or a parachute. And I just, in an emergency, say, oh, God, save me. But that's the way some of us treat our God. He's just, you say, I wouldn't call him a casino. I wouldn't do that. But you don't follow him at all. And then when your sin gets you in trouble, you want God to bail you out. My God isn't a bell bondsman. He's the Savior of this world. My God, sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on an old rugged cross. That's our God. He is holy. He is just. And we should come to him reverently. We should come to him with a holy and clean life. And when you do that, you'll find that he'll answer you. So why should I pray? Because God's word commands that I receive benefits. How should I pray? Well, we gave you a bunch of reasons how we should pray. But finally, when should I pray? When should I pray? We already read the one verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. So when should I pray? Without ceasing. Without ceasing. Now, does that mean that I never can work? No, but our lives should be in tune with God every step of the day. I've challenged you last week and the week before. Some of you on Sunday, you pick up God on the way into church. And this afternoon or this evening, on the way out, you'll open the door and say, hey, it was nice seeing you this week. I'll catch you next Sunday morning. God isn't a passenger to be picked up on Sunday. He's supposed to be there with you all along, every minute of every day. I should be in tune with him. When should I pray without ceasing? Psalm 55:17, David cries out to the Lord and says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I love this in Daniel chapter 6. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I pray without ceasing, but I pray with regularity. Do you have a time of prayer? And there should be extra times of prayer. Extra times of prayer. I think that many times the reason that we face some of the things we do is God is driving us to our knees. But those of you maybe that have played sports, those of you that have been involved in some types of sport activities, what should you do in the off season? You work. You prepare so that you are better when the season comes. I told my players when I would coach basketball, I would say, I want you to dread practice and look forward to a game. Because you're like, oh, all we got today is a game? And most of you, the reason that when game time comes, you're not ready is because in the practice season, in the off season, you're not preparing. And you prepare on your knees with regularity. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. So, when should I pray? Without ceasing? With regularity? And whenever you need them. Call unto me! Just call! Whenever needed. There's a story of a couple that lived in Dallas, Texas. This was a number of years ago, and they were in the business world. The husband felt led to go into ministry, and so he sold his business, actually at a loss. He went into Christian work, and things got a little tough for him. There were 4 kids in the family, and one night at family worship, they came together. One of the boys' name was Timmy. Timmy was the youngest, and Timmy was sitting there, and they were taking prayer requests, and they were writing them down. And Timmy spoke up, and he said, hey, Dad, do you think Jesus would mind if I asked him for a shirt? Dad said, well, no, of course not. Let's write that down in our prayer request book. Hey, Mom, write down a shirt for Timmy. And they looked at him, and he said, oh, and size 7. So they're like, yep, shirt for Timmy, size 7. Several weeks went by, and they had been praying for the list, and you know, when it came time, then Timmy would pray for his size 7 shirt. A few weeks went by, and a downtown in Dallas, there was a clothier, and it was run by a Christian businessman. And on a Friday or Saturday, the businessman called up this family. He knew of the family. He said, hey, I had some excess inventory. And I was just wondering, do you think any of your boys could use a shirt? And mom was like, well, yeah, I think they could. What size are they? He said, well, I have 12 size 7 shirts. So that night, they gathered around. And Tom was the older brother. And mom had told Tom, hey, you wait, and you be right around the corner. And when it's time for prayer, Timmy's going to say, hey, remember that shirt? Size 7. And on cue, Tom walked out, and he had one. And he set it down, and Timmy's eyes got huge. He's like, oh, Mom, God heard me. Tom went back 11 more times. And pretty soon, there was 12 size 7 shirts sitting there in front of Timmy. Now, I can tell you this. That's one boy that knows that God answers prayer. He knows that God answers prayer. He knew that God hears me. Do you know that? You'll know it when you follow the guidelines. Prayer needs to be an integral part, a discipline in the Christian life. And if you are not, you are missing out hugely in your Christian walk. A.C. Dixon spoke at Spurgeon's Tabernacle one time, and he said this: when we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. But he said, when we rely upon prayer, we get what God can do. What are you relying upon? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The discipline in the Christian walk, in the Christian life, is prayer.